Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 236. What is going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how's it going, my friend?
Good. I started watching Ted Lasso again for the fifth time. This is my fifth time watching it over. I absolutely love that show. And I bounce back and forth because I know the storyline already, so it doesn't really matter if I watch it in order. So I jumped to the darts episode because that whole thing is just absolutely, I love every minute of that episode, every minute of it. What do you do with a tough cookie? You dip them in milk. Ha! Yes!
That's a great line. I have to get on the Ted Lasso bandwagon. It's on my list of shows that I eventually have to watch. I've just, as of last night, officially caught up on Yellowstone, so I am in the department for a new television program, so it might have to be Ted Lasso.
Yeah, it's not long. There's only three seasons? I don't really know why I don't know this off the top of my head, seeing as I've watched it five times, but yeah, it's not a super, you can binge it in a weekend easy.
Love that.
And they're half-hour episodes, so, and it's absolutely incredible. Jason Sudeikis, oh my God, perfect.
He's a beauty. We love him. Mm-hmm.
So what's going on with you?
Not a whole lot. Like I said, I finished Yellowstone. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do now? And then I tried to stay up for the Islander game last night, made it through about the second period, and then, kind of conked out, not going to lie.
Yeah, I made it to the last thing I remember is Matthew Barzal taking a hooking penalty in the third, and that's it. It was lights out for me after that.
Yeah, so the Islanders won last night. Well, we're recording this on a Wednesday night, and late last night or early this morning, whenever you want to word it, the Islanders won, but that doesn't really take away from what is going to happen here in the next few weeks, which is kind of what we want to focus on. It's going to be a rumors-heavy podcast, Mitch, which is always a fun one, so why don't we go through and talk about everyone who's been rumored to be a target of someone, what we think is going to happen with them. I'll let you start us off. Where do you want to go first?
Well, we have to start with the obvious ones. So we've got to start with the UFAs, right? So that includes Cal Clutterbuck, Zdeno Chara, Zach Parise, I guess is how he pronounces it, although I keep wanting to say Parise, whatever. That's how his dad did it. That's how I want to do it. So yeah, Parise, Andy Green, and I feel like I'm missing someone here, but that's the four. So that's about it.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones that we can get to in a sec, but I think we have to start with those four guys. So maybe we start with Cal Clutterbuck as the first one. I think he's going to draw the most interest.
Yeah, I agree. And supposedly one of the rumors was Minnesota was there. Or no, excuse me. I'm sorry. I apologize. It was Joe Sakic was there watching Cal Clutterbuck, which is interesting because that's not really their, stylistically what they do, but I guess you could have the argument they maybe need that on their fourth line. It would be an improvement for them there.
Well, so the thing, I looked at the numbers, comparing who they've got on their fourth line. I even thought about doing the top six or bottom six for Colorado, but their third line, Cal Clutterbuck is not an upgrade to the third line. It's a significant downgrade. But I thought, okay, well, what about their fourth line? And while he doesn't really give them much more production, he gives them physicality. Like, I think they, per 60 hits is 5 to 8, whereas Cal Clutterbuck is 17.
Wow. Wow, that's a massive difference. Wow,
when it's a huge difference. And he's he doesn't take a lot of penalties. I think their lowest in terms of the two wingers that they have on the fourth line, Darren Helm and Logan O'Connor, I believe, their penalties per 60 again is 1.1 and I think 2.05 maybe. Cal Clutterbuck is 0.92. So he's giving you that physicality, but he's not really penalizing you for it. Like, not just like a little bit more. We're talking about double to almost triple, maybe not, triple, depending on the player, more physicality if you're just measuring hits. That is something that the Colorado Avalanche do not have. And then you tack on the fact, like, yeah, he's physical in your face, but he doesn't make runs to the box necessarily. That's a huge asset.
Well, he's not stupid. Like, I think that's kind of, he's not reckless on the ice as, or a reckless fourth line. Cause you know, the ones who just kind of, they're extremely physical. They just run around like mad and they get usually called dirty. I don't think, like, Cal Clutterbuck isn't really classified as a dirty player. He's a physical player, but I think there's a line. Sometimes someone can be both physical and dirty, but not necessarily both. And I think Cal obviously is on the physical side. He's on pace for over 300 hits this year. Like, it's like 2015 all over again for Cal Clutterbuck. He's just hitting everything in sight. But as you said, and we talked about it a little bit last week, someone's going to value that. Someone's definitely going to want to bring that in. And I know Colorado doesn't have a second round pick this year because, well, Devontae's. So
we already have it.
Yeah. But would you take a third for Cal, or is that too low? Do you think there's going to be a higher bidder?
I think if the value is a third right now, you wait to the trade deadline. You're in no rush to move for a third. If that's what it is come trade deadline, then so be it. Whatever. Like, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. You're not making the playoffs anyways. Why the hell not? You have nothing to lose. If you're getting a third round pick, yeah, that's not like outstanding. But it's an extra dart and or an extra trade chip, right? Like, if you're trying to move someone or bring someone in, you've got something else to throw at the board or throw in the package, that is. So why not? But that is not a deal I make today. No, you're right. Push for a second round pick today, but third round pick at the trade deadline, right?
Yeah, because I feel like the second rounder has jumped out to me, and I think we talked about it last week with that kind of being where we stand on that. And clearly, I mean, Colorado doesn't have one for this year, so if you are taking a second rounder, it'd be for 2023. So would you consider that or no?
No. That's too far away, but then again, like, the idea of bringing in draft picks for the Islanders isn't like we need these draft picks. We need more draft picks right now because we're not really looking to bring in draft picks to necessarily draft them either, right? Like, if we have to, whatever. I guess that's no loss. But the Islanders are looking to bring in something that they could use to bring them quality quality now, right? Like, and a second round pick next year. Not moving the needle today, right? At best, moving the needle 4 years from now, probably, if it comes a second round pick.
No, but I mean, I tend to agree with you, but to play devil's advocate, maybe at the trade deadline next year, it could play a factor.
That's the other argument. And that's an absolutely fair argument going, well, we've got it and we don't need to draft it, but we could use it eventually. I wouldn't hold out for a second round pick next year. And if it comes to that, it's a second plus then. But ideally for Cal Clutterbuck, I'm holding out for a second round pick this year.
Yeah, and honestly, he's probably been the Islanders' best fourth liner this year. Matt Martin struggled. And Casey Zekas recently has started to turn it around a little bit. But earlier in the year, he wasn't very good. Cal has probably been, you know, the most consistent on that line all year.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be interest in Cal Clutterbuck. We've already seen it. The $3.5 million cap hit isn't that big of a deal. Most of these teams are going to have trade deadline space or the Islanders can withhold money, right? They can hold it. What do they care? Right? Yeah, like, you need it to work? Cool. I'll hold half and then your value just goes up even more.
Oh, that's a great point because they have, I think it's $13 million in cap space at the deadline. So, I mean, if they have to, it doesn't matter to them. They could eat the whole thing if they really wanted.
You're right. Like, you're going to give us the first if we give them for free. Deal. Obviously, it's never going to come to that. I don't think you can. I think that you max you can hold is 50%.
Right. Well, I'm just like theoretically, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's right. The point you're making is that they got the room to hold it. Like, what is keeping? And when we're saying keeping, like, they're not, I don't know what his contract situation is in terms of real dollars. Like, is he actually getting paid $3.5 million? I would imagine it probably is, because why would it be, you know, that wild differentiation? But if so, then, you know, maybe you got extra room to work with. So let's bring it up here. Yeah, he's getting actually paid $2.5 million of actual salary.
Okay, and obviously a chunk of that has been paid already this year.
Exactly. So, like, what is it to the Islanders to hold half of that? Because it's not actually holding half of it. Three quarters of the season is going to be played, and he's already being paid less than 3.5. So, like, you're really holding what at this point?
Yeah, exactly. So, I agree. I think Clutter probably gets moved. Who knows? Maybe they'll try to bring him back after they move him. That wouldn't be the most shocking thing either. But I think it would make sense. If a team is going to offer you a second-round pick for him, I think you do it.
Yeah, and I think we're both to the point where it's not going to be a second round today. Unless some team's like, I need to get him in the lineup now. I don't want to wait. Because we are just under a month, right? March 21st is the trade deadline. So we are a month and minus 2 days till that deadline hits. So, like, deals are starting to happen now. I don't imagine anyone's going to rush to bring in Cal Clutterbuck necessarily.
No, 26 days.
Yeah. Like, you're bringing in Cal Clutterbuck not because, like, I need to integrate him in the lineup. It's, Cal, I'm bringing you in to do your thing. Just do what you did there, here, and we're going to be all good, baby.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to have the same chemistry that he had with Martin and Zekas, but he's still a useful piece in his role, and someone's going to pay, like we said. Someone else who his stock just continues to rise, another forward who's going to be a UFA. Mitch, this one's going to hurt like a bitch when he gets traded, but Zach Parise. I know it's weird because he's only been here for a few months. He's 37 years old, but man, he just plays hard every night. And the production's there. He put up 3 points last night. He's got 19. He's tied for fifth on the Islanders in points this year now with 19.
I shake my head because that sucks, but in so much as a guy on a league minimum deal should be fifth on the team, but that's obviously great, and I'm glad for him. I still keep thinking back to that one executive who's like, he's got nothing left in the tank. Come on.
He's on pace for 34 points on a league minimum deal. That's pretty damn good.
Right, like, yeah, he's not breaking scoring records. We all know that, but he's still a hell of a player to have, and he does all the things you want a bottom six player to do. Implicated down low, playing hard along the boards, making smart plays, rarely taking penalties. Like, this is the guy you want on your team, and the compete level is there. So, like, this has to be something that the Islanders are sad to lose, but they're going to get something for him. And by that, I don't think it's going to be a huge package, right?
No, but, like, I think you're in a similar ballpark with Cal, like a second or a third, but someone is gonna value that. He seems like a perfect third liner on a team that is trying to make a deep playoff run. He has the experience where he's put up, you know, 25, 30 goals in a year. He's not that kind of player anymore, but we see it all the time on these teams who go on deep runs. You need your depth in order to go on these runs. It can't just be these top heavy teams all the time. And if there's ever someone to give you a timely goal, it's Parise. He's done it this year on a crappy Islanders team.
Yeah, he has. You're right. He's not the player he was in, 2008, 2009, when he had 45 goals. Right. But you're not bringing him in to do that either. You're bringing this guy in to be, exactly like you said, a depth player. Because some teams, not every team has a good third line. Not every team does. Some of them are like, we're really missing a third line left wing. Zach Parise is like, hello! Because he doesn't sound like that. He's got a much better voice than that. I make him sound like a loser, but he's certainly not. He's just waiting there going like, I am the perfect fit. And he is. Someone is going to pay to bring in Zach Parise.
So you're in the same boat there, you think? Like a second or third round pick, potentially?
Yeah, I don't really care what we get. Because I'm considering it as almost free, right? It's yeah. Not, because they still have to pay $750,000 to get it done. But, like, Zach Parise took $750,000 because that's the lowest he could that he was going to be getting paid. Like, he's still getting paid from the Minnesota Wild, right? Right. So, like, he doesn't necessarily care about the payout. He just wanted to come to the Islanders, and so he got it done. And if we get a third-round pick out of it for free, really, I'm golden. Yeah, a free third-round pick is great for me.
No, absolutely. And like I said, that one's going to hurt because he's been really good for this team, but another one that's probably pretty necessary to do.
It is. And like you said with Cal Clutterbuck, doesn't mean he can't come back. Doesn't mean he can't.
No, absolutely not. Let's stick forwards. Are there any other, or do you want to stick UFAs before we go to other guys?
Let's stick to UFAs. I know who you were trying to get to, but let's stick to UFAs and we'll bring him up in a second there.
Okay. Well, we might be able to loop these two guys together because it's essentially the same thing. Old lefty, veteran experience on the back end in Zdeno Chara and Andy Green. Now, I don't know. I don't think you're going to get close to what you would get for Kyle Clutterbuck or Zach Parise, but someone will give up some kind of an asset for either of them. I don't know. I don't know if both of them go. Like, do you think it's realistic to expect the Islanders to trade every single one of these upcoming UFAs? I don't know how likely that is either, though.
I don't know how likely it is. We're hearing a lot of interest with Zdeno Chara and not really that much for Andy Green, which makes some sense, I suppose. In a way, just because Zdeno Chara is a bigger name than Andy Green is. Sorry, Andy, I guess, but I'm sure he knows that by now. I could see them moving both, but the return isn't going to be anything special, right? Like, if, what, maybe a second-round pick at best next year for Andy Green? And I think I'm being too generous in the return.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a future, and, like, not a 2022 future, like a 2023 pick, either a second or third round. The Islanders gave up a 2022 seventh round pick for Braden Coburn. I think it would be higher than that, but I don't know if it's going to be that same, you know, 1 year out second rounder that we saw a few years ago. Maybe it is. Maybe it's in that ballpark, but I wouldn't expect a whole lot, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you're getting, you're getting.
Yeah, you're right. Expiring deal on a guy that's just like, you know, bottom pair player in the lineup, which is fine. And again, you're getting an extra pick, whatever. Like, if you draft someone good out of that, great. You know what? You're going to lose him for nothing because Andy Green at 39 years old probably isn't coming back to the NHL next year.
No, yeah, I don't think so. And the Islanders probably want to get Robin Salo and then upgrade, I would imagine, on for the other lefty.
That's right. And with Chara, we're looking at like fourth, fifth, sixth round pick next year type of thing for him?
Yeah, probably. I don't think you're getting much at all, which is fine, but same boat. You just take whatever you get.
Yeah, you took a kick at the can and you brought him in and, you know, whatever. It is what it is. If you get something out of it, great. And if it turns into something, because we've seen fourth, fifth round picks turn into something before. Look at the last two fifth round picks for the Islanders right now. Ethel Lucas and Williams Full, both of them lights out in their respect. Maybe not lights out, but Full lights out in his respective league. And Ethel Lucas is one hell of a player at in the legal level. Both of them could eventually come to the Islanders in some capacity, in some bottom six capacity. But if you're getting a free bottom six player as a player a couple years out because you held on to Andy Green, all right, fine, whatever, that's cool.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. So with that, shall we move to the other name that was rumored?
Yes, and that's Josh Bailey, right?
Yes, Josh Bailey, which is, well, definitely not a polarizing figure in Islanders land. I was kind of surprised to hear that, Mitch, to be honest with you.
Maybe just because he's got that extra year on his contract, right? Or an extra 2 years on his contract at $5 million. So that's what makes it a little bit more surprising. Am I surprised someone wants to bring in Josh Bailey? Not necessarily, no. We're talking about the Minnesota Wild here, looking to flush out or bring in more depth into their roster. And Josh Bailey would do that. So it's fine. It's just, what are we getting for him?
That was my next question. I have no idea. I don't even have like the slightest clue where I would begin this conversation.
Right, because you could say on one hand, well, the Islanders are getting cap space, so that helps. Okay, but the Islanders aren't really dying for cap space either. They got $15 million worth of cap space next year. They're not saying like, please, oh, please, God, let's trade Josh Bailey. If we don't do that, we have to lose someone more important. No. They will hold all of their players and could still add, like, let's say Philip Forsberg at $8 million and still be fine.
Yeah, they totally could. I don't know how to feel about this one. Like, depending on what the return would be, obviously I'm interested, but It caught me off guard because I thought no one would want to trade for that contract with two more years tacked onto it. But I still think he does have value as a third line player. I just think the Islanders have been playing him too high at this point.
Yeah, he's like their third most utilized player this year, or third most utilized forward this year in all situations, which is too much for Josh Bailey. He's got to be less than that. He was the highest. Well, he had the most ice time yesterday against Seattle. What are we doing here? That's not supposed to be the case. They definitely rotated four lines, but you'd still think that a center would have more ice time than what seems to be a random winger at this point, but it is what it is. I'm not so sure he gets moved. On my like barometer of will he or won't he move, I have him at like a 20% he will move.
Yeah, that might even be high. I don't even know if I would put it that high, to be honest with you.
You might be right. Right, it's the 2 years left at $5 million. That's a lot. Like, I don't know what the Wild situation is in terms of the cap, and I'll bring it up now. But like, they've got $2.3 million worth of cap space right now. They'll have $11 million worth of deadline cap space, so they'll be fine there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, going forward, I'm sure they'll have the room. But do they not have big deals coming up? Like Kevin Fiala needs to be signed. Alex Goligoski, I guess that's not going to cost them a whole lot. That'll be a rebate for them if he ever even comes back. Like, I'm sure they can make it work. It's just, do you want to bring in a bottom six winger who's making $5 million for two more years?
Yeah. I guess if they value that, the experience that he brings, and I think there is still something left in the tank. Again, I think the issue was the Islanders have just been playing him in a role that he's not suited for right now. He shouldn't be on the power play. He shouldn't be playing on a top line at this point in his career. I think if you want to play him on your third line, you probably have a 40 to 45 point player, and that's pretty good. But you're right. I don't know if you want to sign up for two more years tacked on to this one already at that price. So I think that's why it caught me off guard to begin with.
Yeah, and fair enough. Like, there's a lot there. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure it happens. I'm not even thinking I want it to happen. We've seen with Zdeno Chara, right, the notion that they don't want to move him until he passes Chris Chelios, which will happen tomorrow. I don't think that they're going to do that with Josh Bailey, who's like, what, 164 games off of passing, was it Brian Trotsky, which with the record, I believe it is?
Yeah.
Now, do they wait till he hits 1,000 games, which he's a lot closer to doing?
Maybe. I don't know.
Right? Like, I don't think he can hit the 1,000 games this year. Josh is at, what, 951, I'm going to say? I'm trying to bring it up now, but my internet is just saying, like, no, you may not pass. Basically, Gandalf is in my computer, apparently.
959 is what he's at right now.
That's so close. To hit 1,000, I don't think he can do that this year, right? Math is obviously not my strong suit. At least quick mathematics. I'm good at math, just not good at quick math.
No, he's going to be 41
games.
There's not 41 games left. They've already played 46.
He could hit it this year. Oh my God, he could hit it this year, right?
If he didn't have the COVID, yeah.
Stupid COVID, ruin everything. I just don't wait, obviously, to be like, oh, we've got to hit the 1,000 with the Islanders. It is what it is. If someone is interested, might as well move him. But I do not see Josh Bailey moving at the trade deadline, I think, is the overall point that we've got here.
Yeah. And I guess there's one more guy who's kind of been brought up in my eyes, unless I'm missing someone else. But Semyon Varlamov's name has been brought up a little bit. And he is someone who, I think we're in lockstep on this one, Mitch. I thought he was someone who's going to go maybe in the off season. I didn't really look at him as someone who could be moved in season this year.
I don't see it either, unless I'm missing something here. Can Edmonton make it work? Like, what team is looking for a starter? Like, right? You can't think of too many teams that are like in a playoff position going like, God, I wish we had a goalie. You're probably not in a playoff position if you don't have one.
The Islanders would probably have to take on Koskinen if they were to do that swap. Obviously more. It's not going to be one for one, obviously. But I think in most cases, goalie trades include another goalie going the other way.
Yeah, because there's only so many to go around. And it's not like we're going to bring up Jakub Skarić, although maybe, I suppose. But the Islanders would want something out of it. And Koskinen, who's expiring, right? That's a $500,000 cap saving for the Islanders, toot sweet. But Koskinen's a UFA, so like it saves them. Hey, if Edmonton wants to do it, go for it. But they do not have the space, as far as I know. I guess they could maybe have the space because they're moving Koskinen.
Right. That's what they would have to do. And obviously there'd be picks involved. And Koskinen, it's not like you're saying Sorokin and Koskinen's your 1-2 punch for the future. It's we're gonna get through the rest of this year and then figure out the hell who's gonna back up Ilya Sorokin going forward. But who knows if you get. What do you think you get for Semyon Varlamov if Edmonton wants him that badly?
A first. So you're getting Koskinen back, a first, and some random prospect, I think.
Yeah, but I was going to say a first-round pick would have to be involved, I would imagine.
Yeah, easily, without a question, without a doubt. Like you're getting a guy who can be a 920 goalie, even like especially in the playoffs. Wies wants more than just like here's some random garbage. No, we're holding out for a first
because it's not just a rental. You have it for one more year after that too. So that's I think where the extra value is if you were to make this in season.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. Like I don't see it happening in season. Although if you're Edmonton, you can't roll into the playoffs with the broken body of Mike Smith and the hope and a prayer that is Mikko Koskinen.
I wouldn't, but they might. They very well might, Mitch. Don't say that. There's a good chance that they roll into the playoffs that way. I agree. I would do it. If I were them, I would be doing everything in my power to look at some teams who are out of it who have an extra goalie. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, call Lou Lamoriello and say, we have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. We don't give a rat's ass about our first rounders. Take it, and we'll give you our broken goalie, and you just deal with it for half a season that's lost anyway, and you're on your way.
Yeah, and to be fair, we don't give a rat's ass about it either. We need that first-round pick not to be able to draft a prospect, although if we have to, whatever, great. This is going to be a good draft to do it in. But if we don't keep it, we've got it to move it. We'll put it in a trade package for something else, right? Like, which is exactly what the Islanders want to do come the trade deadline. So, perfect.
Right, and I think that's another important thing to look at, too. Yes, having that first rounder is good, but then you don't have to be like, okay, it was a down year. Now we got to take two guys in the first round. Not necessarily. You can trade one of them and still have, hey, we still have a first rounder from that year, but we also were able to trade something and get something that would have a first round value on it because of that extra pick.
That's right. Like, if Arizona wants to get another first round pick, they've already got three.
Come on now.
Why not? Right? Like, you've got an extra one. Yo, Arizona, you want a fourth draft pick in what is supposed to be a pretty deep draft? You bet your bottom dollar they do.
Yes, please. Give me Jacob Chychrun.
Yeah, and then you give him, maybe at this point, Josh Bailey's still around, right? And that's somewhere I could see Josh Bailey going, right? To be a leader, to be an effective player in their top six, not even just a bottom six player. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. It would suck for him. But, you're going somewhere warm at least, so there's something to that.
And you get to be on a college campus. Maybe you can make some nice friends.
Just relive your youth while you go to Arizona when you're very much not in your youth anymore.
Yeah, play Frisbee with the guys. It's all good.
Making millions of dollars playing, I don't know, whatever. What is the Frisbee game everyone plays now?
Can Jam?
Sure, that.
I love Can
Jam. Perfect. Right, like that's exactly what Josh Bailey could use as he's ending his NHL career. Perfect.
Going into the twilight stages, that's for sure. Were there anyone else that you wanted to get into in this conversation? I feel like we covered all the rumors.
I don't think there's anyone else that could be potentially moved. Like, we've talked about Anthony Beauvillier before, but if Anthony Beauvillier is moving, it's because you're bringing in an upgrade.
Yep.
Either on defense or up front, but I don't think the Islanders are going into the trade deadline going, we got to move this Bogut. Outside of that, there's really no one else. And I've seen it online, like, trade anyone. No, there really isn't a trade anyone mentality going on in the front office for the Islanders. It's really, we have some guys who are expirings. We're looking to get something out of them and retool from that.
Yeah, for I'll make it clear, for the 1 billionth time, it is a retool, not a rebuild, and everything we just talked about, well, fits that narrative. A retool, not a blow it up.
Yeah, the Islanders aren't in a position to blow it up. So if you're hammering that narrative, please stop.
Shall we get to down on the farm, Mitch, and transition to some of the Islanders' youth?
Sure, let's do that. Simon Holmstrom put up a point today. He's been playing well of late, well, all season, really, for the Bridgeport Islanders. He's got 21 points in 45 games, which is 6 more than he had in his rookie year. He had 15 points in 45 games. And you're saying, well, cool, 6 extra points. He's been around for 3 years. Well, that matters. That it really does. Like, he was a really young player then, and he's trending in the right direction right now. That doesn't mean that he's going to break the NHL wide open.
No.
But could he break into the NHL squad? Yeah, next year he probably could. I'm not saying he will, but he's going to have a chance to do so.
Okay. We got to continue to see him trend in that direction because it was a little bit of a rocky start to his pro career.
Yeah, injuries, COVID, all kinds of thing, right? Like broken seasons going all over the place in the second year. Just wasn't really the best introduction to life as a pro in North America. But I think he's got it under control now, and he's trending up, which is what you want to see. It is taking a little bit of time, but, you know, like Lou says, if you got time, take it. And that's what we've got with Simon Holmstrom. We've got time, and we're taking it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Then there's Alex Jeffries, who over the weekend had 3 goals. But if you extrapolate that a little bit more, over his last 11 games, he has 11 points with 6 goals and 5 assists.
Now, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's important because his first year, last year, he played 10 games last year and had 11 points. Sorry, he played 12 games and had 10 points. So he's played effectively more, obviously, but he's got, in his recent sample size, he's got essentially a replication of last year. You take that as just clear 2 different chunks, and he's a point per game player. He's on 20 points in 28 games at the college level right now in year 2. That's a really big jump for a second year player.
It is.
At the start of the year, people were saying like he is not standing out, and he wasn't, but he is standing out now, and he's doing something. Year 2, we'll see what happens in year 3. And if we even need a year 4, at this rate, I don't think we're going to need one, but we'll reserve judgment for year number 3.
Yeah, absolutely. So good to see him trending in the right direction after a slow start. Chalk that up as a win.
Yeah, and like this is a 4th round pick, right? We talked about this earlier. This is a 4th round pick in 2020. This is not necessarily a dart at the board, but it basically is. You're getting there going like, it's 4th round, we can go either way. Like they jumped hard at the 3rd round that year to take Alex Lundkrantz. But you've got a guy now that, you know, you're turning into something at the college level, going, all right, like we'll see how this goes, but so far so good on for the scouts there for the Islanders. The 3rd and final one I wanted to get to, and I don't know if you want to talk about anyone specifically, is Mitchell Vanilsoppel. Because things have started to trend negatively for him. He's not having the impact he was having at the beginning of the year on the score sheet. Trending out of favor type of thing. Like you got Robin Salo, Semyon Budzuk kind of trending upwards. Parker Weatherspoon having a bigger impact as well. Not so much for Mitchell Vanilsoppel, who's one of the older prospects in the prospect pool. You'd think he'd stand out a lot more. And it just seems to have petered out for him at the pro level.
I was going to say, I feel like his name has been around forever. What draft class is he? 2015?
I believe 2016, but you could be right. He's 25, so that makes sense. I don't know if he's turning 26. I'm not sure of his actual birth date here. But let's bring that up here for the draft class. Of course, internet is just... 2015, 3rd round pick.
Yeah, it's been a while for him.
Yeah, so he's got 12 points in 36 games, not really standing out. He's got that one missed season in 1920 because he was injured and just missed a year. Just kind of plateauing at the pro level.
So do you think the Islanders just let him go? Is he is his contract expiring?
His contract, I believe, is expiring. Both him and Parker Weatherspoon are expiring this year, I believe. There still are RFAs, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just bring it up. Yes, they're both RFAs. So is Grant Hutton. They're going to keep Parker, I would imagine. Parker's a year younger, at least in terms of age today. And Grant Hutton, I'm sure they'll keep as well. So Yeah, I could see him walking, but you still have control over him. And if he wants to stay, then why not? Why not qualify him and see what happens?
No, you could. I was just curious because if the production's not there, and it seems like guys are leapfrogging him in the system.
They are. They might not, right? Like, do something like Bebo, where you don't sign him, or you don't qualify him, but you sign him as a pro anyways. Keep him around, but you're not expecting an NHL career out of him.
No, which is fine. Not everyone's going to make it, and he's a, you know, a third rounder, so it happens.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what I've got as the latest on the prospect pool. Is there anyone you wanted to talk about in the prospect pool?
Is there a Atu Ratu update, or is he just doing his thing?
He's doing his thing, man. They're first in the league. He is absolutely flying out there. Just, he's a point per game. I believe he's 28 points in 29 games. It might actually be higher than, I think it's 30. Let me get it right here. Yeah, 31 and 31. 12 goals, 19 assists with Ukraine. He's up there, man. I'm not sure where he stands in terms of these standings for production, but he's top 20, I'm going to say, in terms of production right now. It could be even higher than that right now. Let me just bring it up. 31 points. Where is he? Atu Ratu. Sorry, he's got 32 points. He's got that extra point with Karpat. So he's exactly 17th in the league in terms of scoring with 32 points in 37 games. If you just look at his Ukraine production, he would be probably 20th tied with Simon Stransky, who is his teammate.
Okay.
So that's pretty freaking good. And he's 19. 19! Ah! Love it.
I can't wait for him to come over to North America.
Yeah, it's going to happen next year. Well, I don't know that for fact, but his contract is up and he is pretty much said it, and the Islanders have said it as well. Like, there's no reason not to have him in North America next year.
Read the tea leaves. It's okay to make assumptions here.
Yeah, I could text him, but he's going to be like, well, I'll wait, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there next year.
Love it. So, all right, shall we try our luck at the quiz this week, Mitch?
Let's do it. So this week's quiz comes from Bill Austin. That's a patron. If you haven't subscribed yet, go to patreon.com/eyesonisles. Get post-game coverage, all kinds of wicked Discord stuff. Bill gave me the idea for this week's clue, or our Mystery Islander. So are you ready, Matt? Are you ready to guess and see who this person is?
I'm ready. Let's do it, man.
All right. One, I was signed by the Boston Bruins as a 21-year-old.
Next.
Two, I played 21 games for the Boston Bruins, but also played for 5 different NHL teams. One of them being the Boston Bruins. Sorry. 5 including the Bruins.
5 including the Bruins. Next.
3. I was traded to and from the Islanders almost 3 years apart. Exactly 3 years apart. It was January 5th, 1975, and then January 10th, 1978. He was traded away from the Islanders.
Okay, next.
In 78, I was traded to the Barons with Jean Potvin.
Oh, I should know this. Damn it.
You'll get it. You'll get it at number 5 for sure.
I hope so.
You usually just give up their name, but I didn't do that this time.
Go ahead. I don't know. I don't
5. My son plays for the team now. Finally.
JP Parise.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
So thank you, Bill, for that one. I have one in the docket for next week. It's a Spiz special, so that's going to be fun for you, my friend.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's going to be like some random player who's played once for the team in like 1992 or something like that, I bet.
Probably. Probably.
He's got like his brother's sister's twin or something like that, and anyways, it's gonna be some crazy thing.
That was a good one. I enjoyed that. It was a thinker, but I finally got it.
Yeah, good job Bill. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. To the social segment we will go. Let's move this along. We'll see what's going around on Isles Twitter. Mitch, what stood out to you this week?
First things up, Isles Fix. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. The mailbag, it's not a mailbag, the newsletter, there we go, I know words, is fantastic. I read it every morning. And so they picked out something from, I believe it's Kevin Kerr's article. I haven't read it just yet, just because I haven't had time to. But he speaks to Mike Milbury about Zdeno Chara, and he's going, according to the former general manager, the Islanders had a trade in place with the Boston Bruins to send Zdeno Chara to Boston to acquire Jason Allison for Chara. Team ownership vetoed it, though, because depth forward Dave Sketchard, my God, I can't pronounce that, was among the players who would have been headed to Boston. And according to Milbury, they liked Dave Sketchard because he visited sick kids in the hospital. That's noble, but it's stupid to make that deal, to not make that deal.
That's true. It's very nice of him to do that. Great guy, but that just kind of shows you what happens when you let the inmates run the asylum.
Yeah. Could you not get someone else to be like, hey, I don't know, whoever else, could you go visit the sick kids this weekend? No? Well, we'll find someone. You got like 20 guys plus to send to the sick kids hospital. Come on. Someone's going to want to do that.
God. Brutal. Well, I should go with this one. I was going to go with my other one, but I'll go with this one because it's also from Isles Fix. They say, Barry Trotz FaceTimed Leo Komarov with the players that were skating this morning. He was beaming with the medal around his neck. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Uncle Leo for winning a medal over at the Olympics. Not too bad, huh?
Uncle Leo, Weird Franz, winning gold medal. Unbelievable. Good job, Team Finland. Absolutely. They were one of the favorites going into the tournament. I'm not surprised that they won gold.
No, me neither. Good for them. They deserve it. And Valtteri Filppula and Leo Komarov back in action once again.
Good job by them. Mine here comes from @hockey_samurai, who says, Pat LaFontaine played 1 year of junior hockey in Quebec, and here are his numbers. 70 games played, 104 goals, 130 assists for 234 points.
Could you imagine being the poor sucker trying to go against Pat LaFontaine?
Like, insane. Just absolutely insane levels of... He had the 1 year, and then the Islanders drafted him third overall. They're like, you're in the show, kid. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you blame them?
Not at all, right? They've had success pulling out high-scoring players from the QMJHL before.
Yeah, it worked. Wow. Those numbers are unreal, though. Oh, my God.
Right. And, like, they drafted him, what? Was it 83 they drafted him third overall?
I would think so, right?
I'm pretty sure. So they win the cup that year, and they draft third overall because they made a wicked trade with the Barons, J.P. Parise. I don't think it was the J.P. Parise trade, but...
No, it couldn't have been.
No, but they make a trade. They send a couple of vets over to them, and then they get a first-round pick a couple of years down the line. Turns out the Barons sucked. Odd that if expansion franchise in the freaking 70s wouldn't be very good for a couple of years. Was bad, and sure enough, they were. They get the third overall, and it's Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah, they lucked out, for sure. My last one comes from Sportsnet Stats. It says, Isles Zdeno Chara plays in his 1,651st career game, tying Chris Chelios for the most among defensemen in NHL history. With his next game, he will tie Mark Richey for his seventh most in NHL history among all skaters. I mean, just we talk about it all the time, but just truly what a run it's been for Zdeno. I know this year hasn't been phenomenal for him, but hat tip to him. Good stuff.
Yeah, and by phenomenal, I think you're trying to say like the Islanders aren't really good, and that's true, but that's not all on him. He hasn't been great, but very few players for the Islanders have. He's done remarkably well considering the position they're putting him in and what he can offer to the game at this point. It is not what they're asking him to do. But it is what it is. So he's done well and good job by him. 44 years old, still playing at the NHL level and playing 20 minutes a night, you know, not fantastically well, but still clearly an NHL player. My God, I freaking wish.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I wish.
He's still like, oh man, anyways. My last one here comes from Matt, not you, another one, @Islanders_takes. Twitter today be filled with takes like, oh my God, lost to Montreal, season over. Like the season wasn't over almost 6 weeks ago, lol.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't good. We were down bad after that loss, but yeah, it happened.
I obviously held out long, longer than is before the Montreal game, I believe, when we called it, right? I don't really remember.
Yeah, it was after the Seattle game, the first one.
Right. So like that's when we were like, it's done, it's over. Thanks for good GG basically. But the Montreal game was certainly a nail in the coffin if you weren't already there, clearly.
Yeah, it was a rough go. It's been a rough season, but gotta try to laugh a little bit along the way.
Absolutely. Hey, we got the trade deadline coming up. Maybe we get something good out of it.
There you go. So with that, speaking of getting something good, you could also get some bonus content from us at patreon.com/eyesonisles. For $5 a month, you get a post-game podcast after every single game, a mailbag show once a week, which we're about to record, and a Discord community of great Islanders fans. It's worth your while. Check it out, please. You could also follow along with us on social media at Twitter, EyesOnIslesFS. Mitch's Twitter is TLO Mitch. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY. Facebook for Eyes on Isles is facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can download the Fansided app and get us there. You can visit the website, EyesOnIsles.com, and get our articles there. And also, while you're listening to this, please make sure to subscribe. Give a rating and review. Really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. Isn't that right, Mitch?
Always love the support here. We've got 16 questions in the mailbag. Some of them a little long, but there's going to be a lot of reading, a lot of cuck-ups for me because I have a hard time reading because I take my glasses off for these, which is probably a bad idea, but full of outtakes coming up, that's for sure.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. I'm Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.